That of our own faces that been enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Although we don't know this, we're going to have to come up here and testify, but it's always a pleasure to me to speak to God's people at any time, because I feel that they said in the Bible, I'm one of them. And to be associated here with such a lovely group, through the week I have certainly enjoyed immensely all these wonderful testimonies of the brethren who have gave us these great testimonies of their healing and of their businessmen who have told us of how their business prospered. And Brother Gardner last evening, I appreciated his testimony and talk. And so many things have happened, and I have come to get full. As I said, William Booth Clinton one time said that down in London, England, that they was he walking around with the police one night because he missed his car, couldn't go home, his streetcar. It's too late. And it was raining, and said he found a man that was over intoxicated laying in the street, so they just picked him up and threw him in the paddy wagon, take him over, throw him in the jail. Mr. Clinton said, well, down to the Salvation Army, said, well, we would take him in, fix him up, give him a hot bath, and give him some coffee and stuff. Said, you still let him lay on the floor? He said, sure, I won't hurt him. So, why do you mean it won't hurt him? Somebody said, he's too full of drinks. I mean, it's the whiskey so much in his guy was poor, just filled up. Yet the cold and stuff can't get in. I think that's what I mean, Lord. So filled up with the Holy Spirit, the world of the devil don't even have a chance. This thing just keeps coming off. He's going to close the hole of the hand. One of the outstanding things that struck me greatly among the testimonies, which they've all been very great, but one of the things was the testimony of the Brother Plowman, Brother Crow, of his, how the Lord dealt with Brother Crown. How many heard his testimony? Dr. Hammond and I were talking about it a little later. And now, you see Brother Crown being a very fine Christian, he had tried hard, his good friend and our friend, to Brother Oral Roberts had prayed for him, and he didn't seem to get any different. Then he thought, oh, Brother Branham prayed for me. I'll get all right. So, well, I prayed for him, no difference. I stood by him for 45 minutes, almost one day, he and his lovely wife, to see if the Lord would speak in a vision to say something to him. But nothing happened. And then finally, at the hospital, when the doctors had operated and giving no hope, or not much hope of ever seeing come through again, then when he was at the end of his rope, then Father's grace stepped in. And the glory of the Lord came down on him in the room, and he was just bathed in God's beauty. And when love has been projected, then it's time for his Father's grace to step in. It'll do it every time. You know, it's a strange thing of how we human beings like to do things ourselves. But we're children of God, and many times we have to just take a seat and study on until God comes around and does it His way. And you know, it's a little child. I was just sitting back there a few moments ago talking to a very fine medical doctor from Chicago who I had the privilege of having breakfast this morning, and we were speaking, and he perhaps, you know this, I'm sure he does. Many times you have a little child, and he gets on a little temper tantrum, we call it, in our home. Oh, he's just sticking and squealing and going on, he's going to tear up everything, he's going to hold his breath. And usually a mother will come and shake him and throw him up in the air and try to get him to get his breath. I don't think this is a case in history where one of them ever died in one. He just has to run to the end of his road and then nature takes over. That's where we must speak to sometimes. We just have to run to the end of the road and let grace take over. We have to run all of our theology out so God can really get the word. You believe that? And God does work in mysterious ways He's wanted to perform. Now, I've noticed this, that each one of us, the sons and daughters of God, many times I have thought of Pentecost. Where it said they were all in one place and one accord. Now, were there unity or there power? And then, if we only knew that each one of us, in an amateur way, is a creator. We're sure that you understand that. You see, the little success that the Lord has given me, as I'm to testify this morning, success is because of this one thing, that the patience that I'm praying for in the sick line, I have to enter into the fellowship of suffering with them. And that's the reason why I can't have a prayer line where you're just running through like a bunch of sheep coming to a yard. You've got to feel the need of that individual standing before you. If you don't, you can't have the feeling of it. Like Paul Rader once said he was going to work one morning, so he, in his life, had a little, well, a disagreement. And he said, as he started out, he kissed his wife goodbye. She was crying, but he always walked out there to get turned back and said, bye. She'd say goodbye. So that morning, when the same routine passed by, he said goodbye. She said goodbye. So he went out on the street and began to think, what if something happened to me today? Or something happened to her? Well, I know we'll never meet again this earth. He also thinking about it and said, God began to deal with him. He ran back to the house real quick, jerked open the door, just standing behind the door, still weeping. Said he never said one word to her, but just pulled her around and kissed her again. Turned right back around and went out. Went to the gate, came back and said goodbye. Said she said goodbye. Right to the other said the difference was the last time there was a feeling in it. Amen. So that's the way it is. There's got to be a feeling. There's got to be something that's projected from you to meet the person you're talking to. A few weeks ago, down in Mexico, we were talking down there, and on the platform there was an old man came to the platform who was blind. I looked down his old wrinkled feet, and they were probably never had a pair of shoes. Just all over the poor old man, and he wanted to kneel down and take out his rosary for prayer beads and watch the saved prayer. I raised him up. And to this person, I said, no need of doing that. But when he put his arms around, blind, I thought, you know, if my daddy would live, it'd just been about his age. And here I am with a pair of shoes on, I looked down and it wouldn't fit him, so I'd have given him my shoes. But to feel that poor man so deprived, and then to know after all of that, never maybe a good meal, no clothes for it to wear, maybe life had had a lot of burdens that only a man of his like he would know, then to be shut off in darkness where he couldn't see. Something inside him began to bleed. Oh, God, that poor mortal. A man like I am has a feeling. He loves, eats, drinks, lives. He's a man. And he's in this condition. While praying for him, put arms around him, his old hands ran across his shoulder, patting. I said, Heavenly Father, if this will make me feel things like that, what does it do to you? In a few moments, I heard him screaming and going on. He had received his doctor. Now, what it is love. Love, my brethren, I realize I'm standing here this morning with a seventh-day education talking to God.
But it won't make any difference of how much theology and of how many ways we turn to scriptures to make it fit our point. There will never nothing take the place of love. Where that is one day to see for its opposite, it will vanish with knowledge, it will be the same thing, but love will endure forever. And if we this morning, as Christian people, and facing the great crisis that's on this earth today, and in meetings like this, if we could concentrate to one thing, the purpose in our heart that we love the heritage of the Lord Jesus, that we could feel. The other evening I was speaking in the Tabernacle Church behind the place there, speaking on love and how we must have the feeling of the people. We must feel for them and love them. Love is the greatest weapon that God ever put into the hands of man. And through that, you can't fool people. You can't. You know, I was a game warden, conservationist. My mother's a half Indian, and I love outdoors. And just a little sideline out to life to let you know what I mean when I'm speaking this. Until the bird gets on the Christian church, the lost souls will fight in the air. Let us stop speaking our breathing gifts and signs and wonders while certainly let go with the body, but let's not touch that ahead of love and lost souls. Let's get into a burden on our hearts. The Holy Spirit marking the Jews in the first of Jerusalem, He only comes to those who sighed and cried for the abomination that was done in the midst of the city. Now perhaps this morning would take us to this challenge. All the glory, all the power, all that God has given to us here at this meeting, and the great things that we've seen. How many lay on their face last night and cried inside for the abominations of Minneapolis? There you are. You only marked those times. Now, to show how love is projected, this is, you might laugh at this, but it's true as I'm standing here. One time, I was out in a field, and I was game warden, and there had been a bull had killed a colored man at the Burke Farm just below where I lived, great Guernsey bull. And he'd been sold away to another man, and he just turned him loose into the pasture, and I knew that bull was there, but I never saw it. I was over on the creek, turning loose some sticks, and I saw a man that called for me to go pray for him. So going up across the hill to pray for the man, being about perhaps 300 or 400 yards from the fence, in a little clump of bushes, this Guernsey bull was bedded down there. And when I got close to him, he raised up, and he was the killer. I looked back to the fence. There was two bosses around me to go swimming. There was no tree for me to get into. Well, I thought, this is the end. I can't go no farther. Well, if I try to run, you'll catch me. So what can I do? Now, that's when we come to these crises that when sovereign grace steps in. Then something happened in my life that I wish it would, if it ever comes again, that it will never leave. And I only wish that there was some way that I had the power this morning to project this to this group of men and women here. And it will never leave you. Like in the maniac of Fort up at Oregon when he ran through a platform to kill me. Many of you read that book. Something happened there. You've often wondered, I guess, how those things happen. There's something in the spirit of despising that man, though he was there to take my life, a divine love set in for him. And he called me a hypocrite to take the grass, and thousands of people sitting there, and he spit in the face, two Baptist sisters said, I broke every bone in your body. People probably couldn't hear them there. But instead of despising the man, something great came in. In a moment when I needed it, grace stepped in and projected a divine love into my heart where I could project to him and brought their friends a man like a man like I am. But he likes to eat and drink and his family, but the devil has him bound. So the love of God constrained me, and the man humbled himself and fell across my feet. Grace stepped in when love was projected. And in the case of this fool trying to kill me, he got up on his feet, looked at me, and snorted three or four times and threw his horns into the ground. I looked around, there was nothing. And as an officer, I spoke the package down and I wondered why I didn't have it. I would have killed the bull and then went and take one. But I had no gun. God came to us, but I had no gun. So he wanted to show him divine grace in a crisis hour. And something struck me way better than a gun or any weapon of this world. It was the divine grace that struck my heart. And thinking of that animal, wanted to live the same as I wanted to live. And instead of hating him as he was planning to take my life, I loved him. That sounds juvenile, but it's the truth. And as he rushed towards me, I said, creature of God, I am the servant of God. I'm on a legitimate call to a man who's dying. And our Creator has sent me. And I'm sorry to disturb you out of your rest, but in the name of He who created us both, go over and lay down under the tree. And when he got so close to me, within 10 feet, I was the Lord's scared of that animal, and I would be my brother in here this morning. Some divine love, perfect love, casts out all fear. And he stopped. He just looked so persuaded. He looked both ways, turned around, walked over and laid down under that tree, and I walked in 3 feet of it, passed by through the field safely. And love is projected, this divine power, grace of God, takes the hope. That's what happened to our brother. And he has trusted in me and Brother Albert, the Brother Albert and our brother, and every man. God has assured that He is God, and when His love has come to God to approach God in the great crisis of even the doctors of the universe, and I couldn't help him. Those things in the power of my own gift would work. Brother Robert's gift of healing would work. My gift of vision would work. The doctors could work. Then power and grace stepped in and brought a blessing. One day, while mowing my yard, I'd be mowing the front part and cut a few rounds, and I had to get back to the back real quick and change my clothes and go and pray for people, and the front yard was growing up so I could get to the backyard. And one afternoon hot, I pulled off my shirt to try and make a few more rounds while nobody's at the house. Way down in the corner of the fence, I forgot there was a hornet down there. And I ran this electric mower into the fence and shut those harness. Me with no shirt on, and you know what harness are. And they were all over me just in a second, very angry. Well, one of them can kill you. Staying in the head, the top of their head, or somewhere in the temple, it can kill you. And so, in that crisis, in that moment when I was standing helpless, then flowering grace of the host, and something happens. As curious as it may seem, lovable creatures. And they were in their nest. God, in His wisdom, He put them here for some purpose, and they were in their nest, and I disturbed them. They were come disturbing me, I disturbed them. And I said, little creatures of God, I am the servant of God, and I am trying to pray for His sick children, and I've got to mow my grass, and I disturbed you. I'm sorry I did this. And I love you. If you mean it, go to work. And if you can't fool a bee, how much more a man? You've got to have what you're talking about. That's the rule. I said, little creatures of God, go back into your nest, and I want to not disturb you anymore. Come over with words. And as I'll have to meet God at the day of the judgment, and you people, both point one, two, or three more times, and one took a beeline, every one of them went right back into the nest in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, grace that conquering love. Dear dying land, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Oh, ransomed church of God, be saved to sin no more. Ever since thy faith I saw the stream, thy soul wounds the flesh, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. How wonderful He works. How you can do those things where some time ago, last year you Christian businessman patriotic was on my mind. I might as well tell it. Mr. Mercer, Mr. Gold, is sitting here this morning, was at my house, showing in nature. God moves in nature. Love conquers everything. And when love is protected, grace comes in to help it. That's real conquering love. Then, sitting on the porch about 10 o'clock one morning, down the lane, came an old possum walking. Many of you have heard the story. Here he comes walking in there, and his arm or leg was all chewed up, the dogs or something, and bird flies all over it, and maggots. Well, they've been growing for so many days. I thought it had rabies. I said to the boy, a young colored girl, was reading it in the paper, had taken her baby and wrapped it up and drowned it in the river. And then when we went out to find out this old mother possum had nine little bitty naked babies about an inch and a half, 2 inches long. Now possums don't travel in daytime. They prowl at night. So when I seen her in there, I thought to that baby, and we put a rope over it and found out that she was biting and fighting that rope. And I said, looky here, there's really more motherly love in this animal, the possum, then there is in that colored girl who's down her baby. That's right. And then I looked up to her, instead of her laying there playing possum, she took out to the house and exhaustion fell over. I thought, you see, she only has just a few minutes to live. But there's such a mother love to her that she'll Spend those moments that she's got left to that motherly love constraining her to give those moments to those babies. There's more love to the animal for her baby than there was for that ill woman. All day she laid in the sun, nobody knows, prompting tears and look. Milk from her. That night, Mr. Woods came by and took me out. For a while, the rest come back in the 11 o'clock, she's still laying there. But she's gone. Miss Wood said to me, he said, Billy, why don't you kill her? I said, I can't do it, Miss Wood. She's a mother. Well, said them little babies are down horrible there. Did you have to punch her to see if there's any life in her? I said, she came all over her head, chewed up, her legs were all chewed up. So, but she's got to die. And said, she's just suffering. So it's only a humane thing to take her life. I said, but Sister Wood, she's a mother. She's crying for those babies. So, but the babies are going to die horrible there. Kill her and pick up her little one. She's a vet here. Just throw them on the ground, kill them or something, but, and they'll die quickly. So if you're a hunter, why don't you take your gun and shoot them? I said, I'm a hunter, but I'm not a killer. Then the next morning, getting up, my little girl Rebecca, sitting here somewhere this morning, she was out on the porch early. And she, I looked at her, I got up, I couldn't rest for a while through the night. And I know studying conservation, if that an animal life, if that possum would have ever moved, she'd have moved when the sun went down. And any other hunter or conservationist knows that. She'd have moved when the sun went down. But she laid all night, and those little possums were still trying to nurse their mother. Becky said to me, my little girl of 8 years old, she said, Daddy, are you going to kill her? I said, no, honey. I said, what are you doing up there early? You're running in the house of mine. I went over and I kicked one of a book, drew all over it, just still in there, but I see her, one of her mouth loose, she's alive. I thought, oh, what can I do? I made Becky go back to the house. I went in the dining room and sat down. Sitting there, rubbing my forehead. I thought, well, I don't know what to do with this animal. And just then, something said, well, you were talking yesterday about love. And this possum loves her baby so much. I sent her up here to your door, and she's waiting here for 24 hours for her turn to be prayed for. I waited. I said, Heavenly Father, if the rejecting of a human being for love for her baby, and you put love in that animal which could not, it hasn't got a soul, it has to be guided by the Holy Spirit up that lane everywhere from the woods and turned into the only place that had a gate or a fence. I said, I'm sorry. And went out there and said, Heavenly Father, if you have directed this dumb animal to be prayed for, and I've been stupid enough or so busy that I never recognized it was you, then I pray, God, that you'll heal the possum. And it's God Almighty who we stand before. Now, God himself, that possum turned over and looked at me, raised up, picked up her baby, stuck it in her pocket, put that tail up in the air, passed right down that road, got up to the gate and turned around and just said, thank you, sir, and went straight to the woods with her baby. What was it? When love is projected, divine grace takes its place and helps us. And when love fails in the colored girl's heart, and the love of that possum to her baby, divine grace to an animal, sent it to the place for a prayer of delivery. If divine grace will act that way upon an animal, what will it be to a human being who will consecrate themselves to divine love of the Lord Jesus Christ and is recognizing? Not long ago, I was coming one time from Dallas, Texas. And we got into a storm. And the plane came down at Memphis, Tennessee. And I went into the Peabody Hotel there to stay all night. And while I was in there, they told me tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, the plane will go. And there'll be a car come along to pick you up. I said, all right. The next morning, I got up at 5:00 in the morning, I better run down to the post office in Maryland. I was going down the street. This has been about 8 or 10 years ago when I first met you Pentecostal people. I was going down the street, a hundred other songs. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain. And as I went down the street, something said to me, stop. You believe in being led by the Spirit of God? Something said, stop. And I stopped. I was a little distance from the post office. And it was the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad today that He's still the Holy Spirit. And as stopping, I got up into a little place. I prayed, I said, Heavenly Father, is that you talking to me? And just as plain as you hear my voice, something said to me, turn and go back to where you come. You ever have something like that to happen to you? Follow the leading then. Go. I turned and went back all the past the hotel, way down, way over into another place. I thought, my, look at my watch. So it was time for the plane to leave. And something kept urging me. As it moved on, something kept saying, move on. I moved over, better part of the city, down toward the river, way down. I thought, what am I doing going along here? I didn't know. Many times, you don't have to know. As long as the time plays you please. And as I walked on down towards that river, I looked at my watch. Hours passed. That's the time for the plane to go. But the Holy Spirit said, move on. I kept on moving until I got out amongst the colored folks. Down there in the lower colored district, there was many little houses. As it went down a little hill like, I was walking along there and I looked leaning over the gate. There was an old typical Aunt Jemima, colored lady. And I was singing that little song that you Pentecostal people sing. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I was going along thinking about it. Beautiful morning. Praise God. My Lord, high. Yours, the sides of the hills and the honeysuckles and roses were perfuming the valley. Such a beautiful place to be. And then being led by the Holy Spirit. I looked at this old colored woman. When she seen me coming, she began wiping her eyes. She looked again, she wiped her eyes, and she started smiling. I thought, what's on her mind? I quit singing, started walking on by my desk. She said, good morning, Kelsey. I said, good morning, Abby. I thought, I want to ask you something. How did you know I was a parson? She said, parson, just a minute. He said, did you ever read the story about the Shunammite in the Bible? I said, yes, ma'am. He said, I was that kind of woman. And said, I prayed to the same God, the God of Elijah. And said, I asked him and promised him that he'd give me a child, that I would love it, take care of it, and would dedicate it to him. And she said, the Lord give me a boy. That I loved him, and I still love him, and that I dedicated him to the Lord. But this person, I'm sorry, he's gone astray. And he said, 2 days he's been unconscious. And said, the doctor man was dead, and said, he'll never wake up no more. And said, he's unconscious. Now, I said, when he's dead last night, this part is great, so mother's love. Well, I was sitting on my bed last night, Carson. I said, oh, Lord, you give me the baby and answer the prayer. I turn it back to you according to what I promised you. Now, Lord,
He's got rid of this place. Got on the wrong company. He's dying with the near disease. Well, crossing his blood. And so now, Lord, I love a child. As well. And when love is protected, divine grace has got to step in. He said, I pray, Lord. So where am I, baby? You give it to me, but where is your life? But oh Lord, and nothing. And she said, I pray for your all night. He said, this morning, just before the day broke, he said, I dreamed a dream. He said, I've seen a man come walking down the street wearing a light tan suit, the tan hat, and said, about the obscenity. And he said, I've been sitting here ever since daylight. That's just the way I was dressed. And love is projected with the right motive behind it. Divine grace has to step in. Not knowing. I said, well, your boy's dying? He said, yes. And I passed her on the back, and she was still wet from the morning dew. Had a man's shirt tied around her head. I thought, well, God, just let it be it. Just let it by the Spirit of God. All hope was gone, but love was still there. Love doesn't fear. It waits on grace. And when I walked in that morning with a little old chain running across and a flashlight hanging there, walked into the room, I've been in King Palaces, I've been in some of the lovely homes that America has, but I've never felt any more welcome in my life than I did when I walked in that little old part of the house that morning. The first thing that met me on the wall was not a peanut or some sort, but was the motto, God bless our home. No love on the floor, the little arm close to death, but it was home, and Christ was there. I looked on the door, the great big fine looking colored boy, about 20 years old, maybe not that old, say 18, 16. He had his blanket in the hand. He goes, I said, how long have you been doing that? I said, all night, boy. I said, lady, my name is Brent. Did you ever hear me? She said, no, sir, pardon me, I never did it. I said, my ministry is preaching the gospel and praying for the sick. She said, I've never heard of you, pardon me. And I said, I left the hotel. I'm almost 2 hours late now for my plane. But I said, the Holy Spirit told me to come back this way. He got the whole sacred opening. And he told me you were coming this way. Grace! Abundance of grace! Friend, I said, well, shall we pray? And he said, I said, what's he saying? Saves money. He thinks he's out on a very big dark sea. He's lost. I listened to the minute that said, really so dark. It's so dark. It's so dark. Oh, I don't know where I'm going. Pulling, I just pulling over in the boat. And so I said, shall we pray, Andrew? He said, yes, pardon. I said, you lead us in prayer, Andrew. We got a little Bible, English woman knelt on her knees. She prayed a prayer that would stick the heart of an archangel. As she prayed to God, she said, now, Lord, I don't know what the next move is, but I know you own the God. That's it. And when she got to praying, I was just weeping. I took all the boy's feet. He just looked like he was dying. He couldn't close. The doctor said, a full flush, and also running to the hole in his heart. He got up too late. He gave him silver cents, kicked off 6 cents, still, and everything else wasn't stopping. Too far gone. So I said to Heavenly Father, help me to pray. I said, I don't understand this. Here I'm missing my plane,
and you had the world down this way, and now this is the only thing is seemingly that you're here. Now, Lord, hear the prayer of this poor sainted mother. And while I was praying, I would say, Mama, oh, Mama.
Uh-oh,
the grace
is taken
off. But Mama, she raised up, she began smiling, wiping her dirty, fat feet. She said, yes, honey. She said, didn't you go, Mammy? She said, Mama, they're getting loud in the room. So she was down, the grace of God has picked him up. I want to see. What was it? I left the place, hurriedly afoot, went down, got my taxi cab, and went to the plane. They were making their last call in over 2 hours. And to find love led by the Holy Ghost is protected. Think of it! The love of God and the grace of God brought an airplane out of the sky and set it on the ground and held it there because of a ignorant, colored woman's parents and her last woman. What heck will do it for that? What are the good to forward to give group of people who stand together today like we are? A little later on, I come in on a train. I got out to the other one in the Memphis out of train full of this way. Just off the Mordecai Ham, my friend said he never knew the place. I went up to get a hamburger. I couldn't eat on the train, it cost too much. So I went up to get a hamburger, jumped off the train while we were waiting to make a picnic just going to California. Now, as we're walking along there, somebody said, hello, Pastor Bram! One of the tap on said, hi, you person! I said, good morning, sir. Well, I thought maybe you're getting somebody to eat. Said, you don't know me, do you? And I said, no, I don't believe it either. Did you remember that morning? I said, no, I'll take you down to my mammy. Yes, but I dwell in this. He said, I'm not only healed, but now, Pastor Bennett, I'm saved. And I'm serving the Lord who healed me. Oh, that mother's prayers and dedication and love, when she tried everything, taking to the church when he was baptized, all that she had done, yet just as the man was the other day, sickness come in first, laid at the door, and divine grace stepped in. That's a crucial moment. Put our Jesus to divine love. My brethren, let me say this to you as your fellow brethren this morning in the first move of the Lord, in this great divine time, hearing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are trying to do this and do that and have this and this denomination work up this and do that. We have come to the end of the road. In this very meeting, all the land, everywhere else has been waiting for a great move. We've tried this, that, or the other. Speakers have spoken and everything else. But still the love of God pressing in our hearts, believing that God's going to move in a mysterious way. Then when we are at the end of the road, it's time for divine grace to set in the second place and revolutionize the time and turn it into a whole life of gospel, Holy Ghost meeting. Do you believe in my brothers? Well, send our feet. They come from great high scholarly educations and seminaries. You sent man with divine gifts and he's delivered the sick. You sent man speaking with tongues, interpretation. You sent signs and wonders of earth. But oh God, our human hearts are still moved in love and compassion, believing that you're going to send us something exceedingly abundantly above all our ability. And do that which man cannot do. Bring us to the
our people might renew their vows, that our prejudices and differences might be taken from the heart, and men and women would live together and believe with that divine love for God, projected into the hearts of each other, so that the fellowship to divine love will take its place in you and do signs and wonders in the next few hours in the evening as it goes on through the day. That the world has never seen nothing like it before. Our mighty God is in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Now as we stand and look this way, my brothers, my sisters, just say over there, give us a little pause. A blessed be the tide of time. Our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred mind is back to that of us. Let that be our prayer in our hearts. As we take a hold of one other hand as fellow citizens and realize that we're leaving this world one of these days, let's reach around and take a hold of somebody's hand and look now, not to one another, but look to the divine, sovereign grace of God. To come into our midst and the rest of this evening and do something we've never seen done before. All together now. Amen.